Well, Los Angeles is in lockdown again, and being under quarantine has given me plenty of time to work on my pool skills. I find billiards to be very relaxing, and on this day, hitting the multicolored balls got me thinking about potatoes. Let me explain. The Great Potato Famine was a period of mass starvation and disease in Ireland starting in 1845. It was brought about because of a specific fungus-like organism that spread rapidly throughout Ireland, decimating about half to three-quarters of the potato crop for several years. Because the farmers of Ireland, then ruled as a colony of Great Britain, relied heavily on the potato as a source of food, the infestation had a catastrophic impact on Ireland and its population, resulting in the death of roughly 1 million Irish from starvation, and at least 1 million forced to leave their homeland as refugees. Without getting into the political details of the tragedy, the problem arose because only one type of potato was grown, and this lack of diversity made the crop susceptible to the specific fungus that wiped it out. In ancient Peru, for example, many different potatoes were grown, many different shapes, colors, resembling in some ways the various different colored pool balls, with different temperaments and resiliency to the various conditions that could potentially destroy a crop. Some potatoes grew better with certain types of soil, certain weather conditions, and this lack of variety and diversity in the Irish crop and their dependency on this usually high-yielding crop made them vulnerable to being wiped out by any one type of fungus or insect. That said, potatoes were introduced on a large scale to Ireland in 1589 and took nearly 4 decades to spread to the rest of Europe, as agriculturalists there found potatoes easier to grow and cultivate than other staple crops, such as wheat and oats. The sweet potato, which is a different variety altogether, was introduced into Spain almost immediately after the earliest voyages and was believed by European royalty to possess aphrodisiac qualities and seemed to only be grown in the climate of Spain. It turns out that the sweet potato was likely originally domesticated in South and Central America, but has also been known to grow in one other place prior to European contact, particularly a place known as Oceania, which consists of many islands, including Polynesia. So not only is the sweet potato native to the Americas, yet found on islands thousands of miles away, the word for sweet potato in Polynesian languages appears to be related to the word used in indigenous American languages in the Andes. The overlap in culture made some archaeologists and historians think it was not only feasible but likely that the potato's arrival in Polynesia was the result of the two people mingling, meaning that the Polynesians landed in what is now Colombia or that ships carrying Native Americans could have sailed to Polynesia. Of course, many modern mainstream anthropologists dismiss this possibility, believing that ancient people did not have the technology to make such long voyages by sea. Thank you. which I personally found insulting since I was taught in university while earning my own degrees in anthropology that the New World was originally populated by monkeys from the Old World, which somehow managed to climb on top of floating deadwood, which transported them across the ocean to populate Mesoamerica. When I asked my professors, what did the monkeys eat to sustain themselves while floating across the ocean, I was told that maybe some fruit trees were growing on this small miniature island of driftwood and the monkeys ate the fruit. So, in other words, monkeys could make the transatlantic or transpacific voyage on their own millions of years ago, yet humans just thousands of years ago were unable to make the voyage, despite our ability to fish, hunt, and demonstrations by various anthropologists that have crossed the ocean on reed boats. I find this insulting and absurd. That said, researchers turned to genetics of the sweet potato, hoping to show that the domesticated potato from South America and Polynesia were genetically one and the same. But their efforts at tracing have been inconclusive, as the sweet potato's genetic origins were too complex to definitively point to human-mediated spread. Other studies have analyzed ancient DNA from bones belonging to Native Americans and Native Polynesians. Ancient DNA samples, however, are often degraded, so these studies were unable to provide sufficient evidence that the two populations shared an ancient history. Recently, however, some scientists took a different approach, analyzing the DNA of hundreds of Polynesians and Colombians, collecting saliva samples from 807 participants on 17 Polynesian islands and 15 Native American groups along the Pacific coast of the Americas from Mexico to Chile, looking for snippets of DNA that are characteristic of each population and for segments that are identical by descent, meaning they are inherited from the same ancestor many generations ago. This led to conclusive genetic evidence of Native American ancestry across several Polynesian islands, demonstrating a single shared contact event. In other words, Polynesians and Native Americans met at one point in history, and during that time, people from the two cultures produced children with both Native American and Polynesian DNA. The event occurred in the Middle Ages, around the year 1200 AD, which is the time that these islands were originally being settled by Native modern Polynesians. Now, there were other ethnicities that populated the islands before this time, but I'll leave that for a future video. The point of this presentation is to confirm a relationship between modern Native Polynesians to the Native American DNA of modern-day Colombia, and thereby solving the distribution mystery of the sweet potato. If you think about how history is told for this time period, it's almost always a story of European conquest, and you never really hear about anybody else. But I'm always excited to discover how through genetics, we're able to piece together many new untold stories, bringing to light new chapters in history, which as it turns out is far more complex and interesting than the obsolete paradigm being pushed by post-World War II academia, which has long since abandoned being scientifically correct in favor of being politically correct in an effort to further a UN-backed political agenda. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon. My books make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'd also like to extend my gratitude to those that have been sharing these videos, as I rely on word of mouth. So thank you for that as well. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your thoughts. So kindly leave a comment below. Please have a wonderful week, and I hope to see you again soon.